Right. This is not what I'm going to speak on. This is not what I'm going to speak on. Although I'm speaking. So it's sort of oh. It's definitely not what I'm going to speak on. Right, we'll start again. This is a verse I've read several times, but not in this translation. So I was very familiar with it in the NIV, and it was only this week that I read it in the Passion. Break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. Those with open hearts are given insight into your plans. And, you know, I just think that's such a lovely verse, because I want that revelation light from God's word. That's what I seek every time I open up my Bible. That's what I seek. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to pray around that verse before we delve into God's word this morning, to pray around. So I've prepared a very short prayer. You can follow the words. I'm not suggesting we should all repeat the words simultaneously. If you want to pray a slightly different prayer, if you want to pray in your hearts rather than out loud, so don't be ruled by what's there. The way the prayer is formed may not be words that you are what wouldn't normally easily tumble out of your mouth. So Don't feel beholden to following the prayers. Just put the prayer up so you can see it. So there it is. I'm just going to pray, because I want this morning for God to open up His word afresh to me this morning. And if you want that too, then feel free to use those words or to use the verse above, or any prayer that the Spirit's laying on your heart this morning. So I'm just going to pray this out, because these were my words, so I'm right comfortable with these words, but they don't have to be your words. Father, in accordance with your scripture, I ask that you break open your word within me until your revelation light shines forth, further showing me your truth, your wisdom, and your character. With my heart fully yielded to you, I ask that you make clear unto me your purposes, your plans, your ways. Amen. Amen. So, we got a very irritating lead. It's making the screen flash. God speaks. Are we listening? And I have to ask myself, am I a God listener? I have to ask myself frequently, am I a God listener? Am I tuned to God, or am I distracted? Take away. I should hold that in your mind as we just go through some of this. So Tuesday, I was thinking ahead to today, and we're still in Lent. And I think it would be good to do something around Lent, because I haven't got to prepare for this Sunday, because Last Sunday, I was supposed to preach on prophetic gifting, so a talk is ready prepared. I don't have to do anything. Let's just have a slot where we focus on Lent. And so I thought, we'll start with a video.
Lent is a season of reflection and renewal as we prepare our hearts for the celebration of Easter. It is a time to examine our lives, confess our sins, and to seek God's forgiveness and healing. As we fast and pray, we draw closer to God and allow Him to transform us from the inside out. Let us use this season to cultivate a deeper relationship with Him and to grow our understanding of His love and grace. May we emerge from Lent with a renewed sense of purpose and passion for living out our faith. This Lent, let's reflect and renew as we prepare our hearts for Easter.
And I thought, you know, that's such a good thing to be doing. Reflect. Clearly, I can't do the renewal and restoring. That's in God's hands. But that reflection is something we can all do. And I want to encourage us to be a reflective church, reflecting on what He says. But some of you may find that a challenge. So it struck me, one of the things we could do is just look at His word. Just look at His word. And we have a second video here, focuses on Psalm 27. And I hope you haven't forgotten those questions at the beginning. Am I a God? Asking yourself, am I a God listener? Me asking myself, am I a God listener? So I thought, let's have a look at Psalm 27.
The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom should I dread? I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking Him in His temple. For He will conceal me in His shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of His tent. He will set me high on a rock. Then my head will be high above my enemies around me, and I will offer sacrifices in His tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord.
So that was just a precy of Psalm 27. It didn't cover all the verses. Just focusing on something like Psalm 27 enables us to reflect with God's Spirit to see what God is saying to us. So I thought. But maybe taking Psalm 27 is too much for some folk. And Lucy spoke last week about how just a simple verse spoke to her husband, Sam. Be still and know that I am God. This Lent, we could do so much by reflecting on the words of truth, letting them resonate in our being, of that simple verse in Psalm 46. So we could take a whole psalm or just a simple verse. And maybe it was, you know, Psalm 27, about standing high on a rock. It made me think of another verse. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. This Lent, we... yes, it's you. We could take a simple verse. So this is where I was on Tuesday. Psalm 27, Psalm 46, Exodus 33. This was just to encourage you this Lent to reflect. Or so I thought. Just, do you remember those words? Am I a God listener? Because the very next day, this is what I was planning to preach on. The very next day, Jackie, Debbie and I, you know, each Wednesday, well, nearly each Wednesday, I'd say we've managed every Wednesday, nearly each Wednesday, we meet for sharing and... Woo. We meet to pray and to share. And Debbie started, once we got through the normal pleasantries, she started saying what God had been saying to her this week. And she read through Psalm 27. And she referenced Psalm 46, verse 10. The hairs on the back of my neck started to stiffen and twitch. And then, because she had no knowledge of what I'd spent my time the day before, she then started to read from Exodus 33, when my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cleft of rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. She started in verse 22, the very next verse from where I was. And I just knew that God was speaking. He'd made those connections between Exodus 33, Psalm 46, and Psalm 27. So, we're not going to do prophetic gifting, because afterwards, just to underline it and make sure that I really was listening, in the afternoon, we'd finished our video call, in the afternoon, Debbie said, turn to my devotional. And you don't need to worry about the bulk of this text, the bit that I've highlighted. She said, look, Psalm 27, verse 4, Exodus 33:17-33. God is just underlining what he's saying. So I wanted to really capture what he was saying, and so I spent some time with God. And this is where we are. So it's been a long-winded way to say why we're doing this instead of prophetic gifting, and I don't know when we're going to get round to prophetic gifting, when God wants us to. But the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me at his sacred tent, and I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. There's loads in that, folks. There is so much in that. I can't go through it all, but we're going to go through those verses, and I just want to share with you what God revealed in my heart. So looking at the first verse, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, when David wrote this centuries ago, there was a lot going on in his life. And, you know, so many battles. But he knew where he had to focus. He knew where his heart, his eyes had to rest. He knew that the Lord is my light and my salvation, his stronghold. You know, and that's a lesson to us, a lesson to us. We need to be focused on God at all times. The world will tempt us in many ways. The enemy will be seeking to undermine us in any way he can. And we will, you know, being children of God doesn't give us an inoculation against hard times, against difficulties, against illness. But we have a choice, folks. We can choose to focus on those challenges, or we can choose to lift our eyes to God. Let our hearts be drawn to God. You know, David didn't know Jesus, but we know that Jesus is our light and our salvation. We have to look through these verses in the Old Testament, not only what they meant at the time of their writing, but what they mean with looking through the lens of Jesus. You know, we had that prayer which was based on that verse in Psalm 119. And I just want, you know, Christ gave us the Holy Spirit, that revelation light. He is the light in the world. But I want that revelation light of God's word. It's going to be a slightly frustrating morning. You will have many fears, or maybe you've got only one or two. I'm not inviting you here now to name them, but it is worth calling them to mind. And then prayerfully giving them over to God. Giving them over to Jesus. Let them deal with them. Many of you will know this, well, not personally know this chap, but you'll know of him. Charles Spurgeon, that Baptist preacher in the 1800s. And he said of this verse, these two questions, whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Two questions that answer themselves. The answer is the question. Who shall I fear? Of who shall I be afraid? It's no one. No one. Because we have our God. Look to God. Look to Jesus. They need to be the light and stronghold, the salvation of our lives. Nothing else. Nothing else. So these two verses put together. When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it's my enemies and foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though a war break out against me, even then I will be confident. We're not like David. We're not facing armies and enemies seeking to overthrow us and kill us. That it could happen. You know, the war in Ukraine could spill into Europe, but we're not there. But we do have enemies, and we do have fears. There is an enemy out there that is seeking to devour us. But God will deliver him, deliver us, as he delivered David from those enemies, from those fears. You know, chaos is all around us. But like David, we need to be confident. Not in our own strength, but in the strength of God. Not in our own understanding, but in the wisdom that God gives us. David trusted God. And it's our trust, our faith, our assurance that will see us through chaos. You know, unless we choose to focus on the chaos and let that guide our emotions and our thoughts and feed our fears and worries. We need to lift our eyes. We need to recognize that this chaos, the enemy's fear, is not from God. How many times in Scripture does it say, do not fear, do not worry, do not be anxious? You know. I think Possibly because God knows that we're a feeble people and we revert to those feelings. But we need to make those active decisions to lift our eyes, lift our hearts, trust in God, be confident in Him. Like I said earlier, it doesn't mean that chaos, enemies, fears won't be part of life as it is on earth. But that doesn't have to be 100% experience. So David goes on, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." You perhaps played hide and seek when you were a child. I still play it. As an elderly man, my grandchildren love to play. Every week that they come round, we play hide and seek. Kids love it. But one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. So here's this Hebrew word, borkash. And it doesn't mean just to look for something, but it's to seek and secure it. to have it within your heart, to strive after it. Desire it with all your heart. It's one thing that I want passionately to achieve. To be living alive in God's presence. Because if we don't desire that, then we're going to be stale and dead. And there's this other word in Hebrew, kazor, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. As I'm seeking, it doesn't mean to let your eyes wander in a superficial way, but it means to gaze, to look on intensely with thanksgiving in your heart, with gratification in your heart. That's what it means to gaze on the Lord. God's beauty, His splendor. Sorry, I didn't get this sheet out. Psalm 96 says, "Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth." That beauty, that splendor of His holiness. This verse is guiding us, imploring us to to look and seek out the beauty of God, His holiness, the purity of God, well, the complete absence of sin, perfection of being. And why wouldn't our hearts sing when we're gazing on that beauty? Why wouldn't our hearts earnestly desire to be able to gaze on the beauty of the Lord? Verse 5, for in the day of trouble He'll keep me safe in His dwelling. He'll hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me on a high rock. You know, I wasn't with my kids the day that they stood on that high rock. I'd be praying that God will keep them safe if I knew they were gazing out over that outcrop. But isn't that a wonderful promise? For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe. And He will secure me. This verse is all about protection and security. God looking after us, wrapping His arms around us. So here we have another Hebrew word. Because hide, this hide and seek. Sofan is to hide from evil. It's not just hiding away. It's to hide from evil, to protect and guard us. That's what God does. Watches over us all the time. Psalm 94:1, He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. We've looked at this before, you know, verses where God's described as a mother hen with wings stretched out and chicks huddled beneath her. It's mentioned in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's something we should take note of, because God desires to protect us, to secrete us, to keep us safe, to guard over us, to keep evil from our door. Rock. You know, we read about it in the Old Testament, where the Israelites meandered through the wilderness for 40 years. God allowed water in that desert, allowed water to come gushing from that rock. And in 1 Corinthians we read Paul's account of what that rock was. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. You know, set me on a high rock, a firm foundation. rock, maybe on God's mountain. Nearly the end, folks. You ain't got to put up with this much longer. As Paul says, that rock is also Jesus. And we know from Jesus' words he told that parable of the wise man and the foolish man. One who built a house on the sand and one who built it on the rock. That rock is Jesus' teaching, Jesus' life as he lived it, that we can learn by, and we can choose whether we feed at the rock of Jesus, live our lives firmly planted on the teaching of God of Jesus, because God wants to set us on that high rock for our protection. If we're firmly in Jesus, then the enemy has no root to us. Last verse then. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me at his sacred tent. I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. You know, this is a verse of rejoicing. This is a verse that says, whatever is going on around me, whatever chaos, whatever enemies are coming against me, whatever fears other people near me may be feeling, I choose to sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Doesn't matter what the newspaper says. Doesn't matter what the news broadcast says. I will sacrifice with shouts of joy and sing and make music to God. This is a victory celebration. It might not look like a victory when looking through the eyes of the world, but we have much to celebrate. Hebrews, this verse 15 in chapter 13. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to him. Praise, worship, thanksgiving. You know, they should be tumbling out of our mouths, unrestrained, regardless of how I feel, regardless of whether illness, difficult relationships, finances, regardless of those negative experiences, praise, worship, thanksgiving should be tumbling out of my mouth. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith should be more than enough to face those dark events, those difficult events, those challenges, the chaos, the disappointments. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The victory, the victory. We should be celebrating, not being downhearted, lifting our eyes, choosing as David did, surrounded by enemies, armies against him. He chose by trusting in God, by the certainty of his faith, to lift his eyes and rejoice and to worship God, to sing and praise God. That should be the same for us, folks. Maybe this was a message just for me, reminding me that, you know, my mum, you know, all the emotions and the turbulence that went through my head. Lift your eyes, Andrew. Lift your eyes. Lift your heart. Don't get caught up in the negative stuff. Lift your heart. You know, I was mentioning to Debbie, I had a text, a WhatsApp message this morning from a chap called Andy. So Andy messaged Andrew. Andy and I run the day-to-day workings of the food bank, and he messaged me to say, had new referral, would I deliver a food parcel later this week for a chap who has just come on the scene. He's a migrant, and as a migrant he has no access to public funds. He's not entitled to public funds, so he is penniless. So you can imagine, I am imagining, I've not met him, I don't meet him until later this week, how things are for him. It will be a very dark place, potentially. And his first name, it's not Andrew, it's not Sandra, it's Praise God. That's his first name. Whatever difficulties he's in, he's always Praise God. He's always, I don't know whether that his character chimes with his name, but it just made me think, Praise God. Whatever the difficulty, Praise God. Because as we celebrated earlier together, and as we sang earlier together, Christ has already made the victory. He is victorious, and we share in that victory with him. Amen. Amen.